on the Colorado State Sports Network, powered by Canvas Credit Union. From Learfield IMG College, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Colorado State Insider podcast presented by The Group as we talk all things Colorado State Athletics with you. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, your host as usual. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you consume your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it. Wherever you find podcasts, you can find the Colorado State Insider. All right, great to have everybody with us here this week, and we hope this podcast is for naught. That's kind of been the prevailing theme over the last couple of weeks, at least speaking for myself. You put some work into a podcast, you get guests, you preview a game in the upcoming week, and try to get fans ready to go for the matchup, and then poof, game disappears. Game doesn't happen. That happened once again to us last week. Rams and the Air Force Falcons canceled. This time it was CSU's fault. Of course, the previous two cancellations were the opposing team's fault. So we're hoping this podcast does not go into the trash can after the span of 8, 10, 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours. We hope the game this weekend is going to come to fruition. Rams set to take on San Diego State on Saturday night in Carson, California. All right, here's what we have coming up on this edition of the podcast. We're going to hear a couple of comments from CSU head football coach Steve Addazio. We had the Steve Addazio coaches show last night. We did the show from Canvas Stadium and the home radio booth since the state and the county of Larimer went to level red and they stopped all indoor dining. Of course, we were hosting the Steve Addazio show at the CBM Potts Restaurant and Tap Room at Collindale, Kevin Cheesley's place. But alas, that's not happening anymore. So we did it last night from the radio booth, and going to play a comment from Coach Addazio and get his thoughts on what it's like to prepare as a coaching staff, as players, as a program for a game, than to have the rug pulled out from underneath your feet in the last case, 24 hours before the game. In fact, a little less than 24 hours is when the game got canceled against Air Force. So we'll hear from Coach Steve Addazio. Also had a couple of the assistant coaches on the show, as we usually do. We either have assistant coaches or players. And we had Louie Addazio, the offensive line coach at Colorado State, and of course the son of head coach Steve Addazio. And then we had linebacker coach Sean Cronin, who also has deep ties to coach Steve Addazio, and the defensive coordinator Chuck Keeter, as Sean is married to Chuck's daughter Emily, who, by the way, went to high school here in Fort Collins at Pooter High School. So we'll get the thoughts of Louie Addazio and Sean Cronin, get their background, and get you a little bit of an insight to who those two guys are, not only as coaches, but a little bit on the personal side as well. And finally, we're going to wrap up the podcast here today with some Colorado State basketball talk, and had a chance to catch up with men's basketball coach Nico Medved earlier this week, and wanted to get in touch with Nico. I hadn't talked to him in a few weeks and had not talked to him since his program had been put on pause due to a couple of COVID positive tests, subsequent contact tracing. The team has been on pause since November the 20th, and of course it wiped out their season opening trip to Corvallis, Oregon, where they were going to play Oregon State and Cal last week over the Thanksgiving week. And well, it's wiped out their trip to San Diego here this week to open up conference play. It's going to wipe out the Colorado game next week, although Colorado's had their own issues as reported earlier today. So I'll play a couple of the snippets from my interview with Coach Medved here on the podcast as well. The full interview was recorded for our weekly CSU Athletics Magazine show that airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on our flagship here in Northern Colorado, Power 1029. You can catch that show tomorrow night at 7 p.m., even if you're out of the listening area, by downloading the Power 1029 app, and it'll be live on there. 7 p.m. coming up tomorrow night, my conversation with Nico Medved. All right, so that's kind of what we have coming up on the program here today. And again, we hope that this has some legs and a little bit of shelf life. All right. Well, look, Colorado State has had some bad luck this year. I mean, let's call it what it is. Rams lose their third game of the season due to COVID. It means Colorado State batting 500. Be great if you played in the major leagues. Awful if you're a college football program with only eight games to begin the season with. You've already lost three of the six that were on the schedule. The Rams lost their game with Air Force last week, Thanksgiving Day matinee that was supposed to kick off at noon. Colorado State got word about 22 hours before the game was to have kicked that the university had shut down the football program and put them on pause. It was not a Mountain West Conference decision. It was a university decision, and it was what it was. Either way, it canceled the game against the Air Force Falcons. So it was the third game that Colorado State has lost this year. The other two were not Colorado State's fault. Remember, October 24th was supposed to be the start of the season. It was the New Mexico Lobos who had a whole heck of a lot of problems down in their county in Albuquerque. And really, it was the state of New Mexico and the governor that kind of put the kibosh on that first game. All right, so you don't play in the first game. Rams then played three straight weeks. And then 2 weeks ago, game against UNLV gets canceled, a game that was slated to be in Fort Collins on November the 21st. And once again, it was not the fault of Colorado State. It was on the UNLV side. Rams were trying to schedule a game with Colorado to make up that game, but couldn't get anything worked out. And then, of course, here this past week with Air Force. But, you know, you look at the UNLV and New Mexico games, both of those games would have been home games for Colorado State. And both would have been wins. I mean, let's call that what it is. New Mexico and UNLV are by far, unequivocally, the two worst teams in the Mountain West Conference. They are combined 0-10, and Colorado State would have beaten each of those two teams. There's no question about it. So not only do you lose the two games, you lose two home games, and you lose two games where you were the unequivocal favorite. So, you know, you play those two games, Colorado State could easily be sitting at 3-2 right now, looking to take on San Diego State for their fourth win here this week. Now, you know, you look at this season as a whole, and look, it was always going to be kind of an exhibition type season. Sure, you're going to play for a Mountain West Conference championship if you can get enough games in it. And sure, there are teams across the nation that obviously are playing for conference championships, but are playing for the quote-unquote national championship. Teams like Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia, I mean, you know, the usual suspects. Unless you're one of those blue blood teams playing for a national title, this season was going to be an exhibition year. It just was. And I've said it on the podcast before, and I'll say it again. Every coach this year, and I don't care who it is, maybe there are probably a couple of exceptions out there, as Vanderbilt just fired their head coach earlier this week. But for the most part, college football coaches should get a pass this year with the pandemic, with the cancellations, with players opting out, with teams going into games without 10, 12, 15 players, many of whom are starters due to COVID positive tests, due to contact tracing. I mean, you look at the scoreboard across the nation and you look at those scores and say, wow, so-and-so beat so-and-so. This team beat that team. But you don't know what those two teams' rosters look like. So listen, it's an exhibition season. Every coach should get a pass, and that includes the first-year coaches. And I think most of the first-year coaches across the nation, which, of course, Steve Adazio is, was looking at this season a chance to get a real good evaluation, what your roster looked like, get a real good opportunity to get your coaching staff together and go through a pseudo season, this exhibition season, and an opportunity to build a foundation, build that winning culture that you think you and your staff are bringing into a particular place. And that includes coaches like Marcus Arroyo at UNLV. Mentioned again, they're no good. They're 0-5. Danny Gonzalez at New Mexico, they're no good. They're 0-5, but you know those two guys shouldn't be judged on what they have here this year trying to rebuild programs. And then Steve Adazio sitting at 1-2 for the Rams, as we mentioned, should be probably 3-2 if the games don't get canceled. But again, all these first-year coaches, you got to treat this as for what it is. It's a season unlike anything else, and what you want at the end of the day, if you're Steve Adazio or any of these other first-year coaches, you want the opportunity to play as many games as you can. Eight were on the schedule to begin with. Colorado State has lost three. You're hoping now to get the final two. Possibly could you get one more on December the 19th? Sure, you could get one more. I'm not sure if teams across the nation, given everything going on in the nation with COVID, I'm not sure with that December 19th date that's open for the conference championship games across the nation. You could schedule a game there. Rams could host UNLV or New Mexico if they wanted to. Perhaps you could play Air Force or CU if those two teams aren't playing in bowl games. But given what's going on across the nation with infection rates and COVID and lockdowns and what you're seeing out in California, I mean, do universities who are already hemorrhaging cash want to go play a road game? Does UNLV want to spend $100,000 to come to Colorado State to play a meaningless game on December the 19th? Doubt the athletic department does. Certainly the accounting department of the athletic department does not want to do that, but I would imagine the football coaches and players probably would. So the point is, Rams have two more opportunities to play a college football game. Saturday represents one of those opportunities. And here as we record this, 1:15, Tuesday, December the 1st. If the game's still on, Rams are going to be shorthanded. There's no question about that. Steve Adazio talked about it last night with me, the coaches show. They're going to be without several starters. But the game still at this point is on, and the Rams just want to play. I mean, you got a group of guys there, a group of coaches that have worked their tails off, and they just want to play. And that goes for every college football program across the nation, no matter what your record is, no matter how many games you've already played to this point this year. You want to play, and you don't want to see all that preparation flushed down the toilet. And in fact, that was one of the questions and one of the conversation topics that Steve and I kind of got into last night on the Coors Light Steve Adazio Coaches Show. And we were talking about, I brought up the fact that as a broadcaster, last week going in the Air Force game, I had done all my spot charts and did all my prep work, was over at the facility getting all my pregame interviews, and the amount of work that goes into it from a broadcasting side, I was about ready to drive down to Colorado Springs for the Air Force game last Wednesday. And then to have it get canceled, you look back and say, man, what a colossal waste of time. And that's just me as a broadcaster. You look at the amount of hours that the coaching staff, the players, the game film, the preparation, the training staff, that everybody in that building put in towards that game last week. The hay was in the barn, as they say. I mean, everything was done. All that was left last week was to play the football game, the best part of the week. All that was left for me as a broadcaster was to broadcast the game, the best part of the week. But in the end, the game didn't get played. So Steve and I talked a little bit about that, and here's a little bit of his thoughts on the preparation for nothing.
But in a typical game week, you know, Sunday, you're in first thing in the morning, and you know, you're getting home. They're getting home probably, you know, Sunday night in a typical week, 10, 11 o'clock at night, coming in the next day, 7 a.m., working through, you know, late at night. Same on Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, putting a more humane day in, maybe 7, and they're probably there until, you know, 7, 8 o'clock. And then, you know, Thursday, you know, they're probably out of here at 5 o'clock. And Friday, we rock and roll, and we travel, and we go. And what's hard, you play these night games. We've gotten off the plane and going right to work.
Right.
So it's a grind. The players put a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of effort in. The coaches do. You do. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And what happens is, you know, one of these is one thing. But you start getting involved with a couple of these, and you know, it's a roller coaster mentally, and it starts to claw at you a little bit mentally. You know, and it's just human nature. And now, like I said, I wasn't trying to be funny about it. So now here we go. We're playing one of the top three. You know, we've been on the road. And we go out on our first road trip out to Fresno. They had played a game we hadn't. We were down our top playmakers
right.
from contact tracing. And we come back and, you know, rally back up and pretty healthy at home. We beat Wyoming. Then we go on the road to Boise. We're missing some players. We're on the road playing the best team in the league. And we come back, you know, and we get healthy and we're ready to go against UNLV. And then that gets canceled. Then we're like, okay, well, we're playing a rival game. Here we go. Big emotional week, right? Players really went at it. All that time invested into the wishbone, blah, 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 blah. Right before we leave, they cancel the game. Now here we go again, on the road again. And we'll be without a bunch of players.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, and we got to play with the top three. So that's a roller coaster ride. It is what it is, but it's a roller coaster ride. And anybody thinks it's not, they're delusional.
All right. That said, Coach Steve Adazio last night talking about really this season, what it's like to just have game after game get canceled on you. Rams, If they play coming up on Saturday, it'll be their first game in 23 days. That's the longest duration between regular season games in 102 years at Colorado State. 23 days between regular season games. It has been over a century since that has happened. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about San Diego State coming up here in just a minute, give you a bit of a snapshot. I wasn't able to get a hold of anybody from their radio broadcast team for a preview of San Diego State, but we'll give you a snapshot of what to expect from San Diego State coming up in just a moment. But I did want to play back a couple of the interviews from two assistant coaches that joined us on the Steve Addazio show last night. Sean Cronin, linebackers coach for CSU, came from South Florida. We'll hear from Sean in a moment. But first, Louis Addazio, one of the youngest members of the Colorado State coaching staff. And of course, the last name will tell you, he is also the son of head coach Steve Addazio. Louis joined us on the Steve Addazio show last night. Louis, great to see you. Thanks for stopping by. And as the name would indicate, you're the son of head coach Steve Addazio. You also played for him at Boston College, correct?
Yes, I did. I started my career off at Syracuse, and then I transferred and finished my career with coach at BC.
Okay. All right. So do you call him coach here? Do you call him dad away from the facility?
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, you were at the coach's show last week, and we were talking to Steve and talking about, hey, do you coach offensive linemen a little harder because you're a former offensive line coach? As you see former quarterbacks that are coaches made, they might hit the quarterbacks a little bit with a little bit more scrutiny. So I'm curious, how much scrutiny does the head coach give the offensive line coach? Does he ride you maybe a little harder?
No, I mean, you know, obviously, there's definitely attention to detail, you know, right. with that, you know, being coach's position. But I'd say, you know, coach does a great job. Every group on this team, you know, he's got, you know, laser beam focus on everyone.
Right.
Our individual drills may get a little more intense sometimes, you know, it's great. And the kids, the most important thing is the kids know they're getting better. Day in and day out, and that's the most important thing to us.
You know, one of the things that Coach was talking about last week on the show is his system with the offensive line, the way he likes it coached. Is that something that you have been able to absorb over the years, or is that something that you're kind of still learning as we go too? Because you're a young guy.
No, absolutely. So I mean, you know, obviously being a player in that system, you know, taught me a lot, and then, you know, learning from guys like Justin Fry, who coach for him, Phil Troutwine, and then being around coach. It's a little of both, but definitely growing up in that system and learning the ins and outs of it are, you know, tremendous deal. You know, this system we do, we believe in it, and it works.
Let's talk a little bit about that offensive line. And, you know, we come into this season and wondering what the offensive line is going to look like. And then all of a sudden the season starts and there's three BC transfers mixed in there. So tell us a little bit about the offensive line as a whole and how you think they are progressing as the season has gone.
Yeah, I think the guys have done a tremendous job trying to get better day in and day out, which is all you can ask for. Some guys have stepped up and, you know, the attention to detail and focus that they're learning that it takes to play offensive line. I think that's something that we preached, you know, when we first got here, and over time it's starting to grow and develop. It's a whole new world for them. We brought it back to the basics and build it all the way back up. And, you know, it's great seeing guys come in, be it a transfer, be it a freshman. You know, our motto is the best guys are going to play. I don't care if you're 17 years old or 23 years old. So it's great seeing some guys step up and step into roles, and very exciting.
Mentioned the three Boston College transfers, Elijah Johnson and Adam Karutz at the guard spot, and then Cam Reddy, who we had on the program with us last week as the center. Are those guys maybe a little ahead of the curve because they kind of know coach's system?
I think obviously coming in, knowing the system definitely helps you. But, I mean, each of those guys, you know, they each have their own unique story. I mean, Elijah was a guy who played a lot of football early in his career, and then he's battled some injuries over the last couple of years, and now he's starting to come back in form. You know, Adam Karutz was a guy who was, you know, always on the verge of playing throughout his career, never quite got his opportunity, and now coming out here, he's taken full advantage of it. And then, I mean, Cam Reddy is as self-made as it comes. He's a former walk-on fullback.
Right.
And then he discovered, obviously, as you said last week, some cookies and ice cream and kept eating. So, I mean, just seeing those guys really grow and develop and really take the most of their opportunity and work hard at it.
You know, we've talked about the three Boston College transfers, but then there's a kid who's been here and kind of been a mainstay at CSU at the tackle spot in Barry Wesley. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen from Barry, because he's an interesting story. Came here as a walk-on and didn't have a lot of opportunities to go play college football really anywhere. And I know it's something the previous staff said, is that he just gets it. He just understands. His technique is good. You tell him something once, he's kind of one of those kids, and all of a sudden, here he is, scholarship player. He's a junior and has started every game of his collegiate career.
Yeah, you know, Barry's another guy along the lines of Cam Reddy, a real self-made guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got a tremendous work ethic, and he's an unbelievable person. I mean, just a great dude to be around and, you know, great attitude every day, and he's getting better day in and day out. And he's, you know, he's really taking an attitude, you know, every day to get better and improve and play the best football he can play. You know, you love being around guys like Barry Wesley.
Louis Addazio, offensive line coach at Colorado State, joining us here on the Coach's Show tonight. We'll talk to Sean Crona, the linebacker coach, coming up in just a moment. A few more thoughts for you, Louis, before we get going. Tell us personally your thoughts on Fort Collins and Northern Colorado here. I'm assuming you're with your dad a lot. You're a younger guy, Syracuse, Boston College. You've spent most of your life on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I spent most of my life on the East Coast, and then getting into coaching, I was at Ohio State and Columbus for three right. years, and then I was at Bowling Green for a year. So spent the last 4 years in Ohio. So coming out here, my wife and I are just, you know, we really enjoy Colorado. I've definitely gotten more in shape hiking, I'd have to say.
Right.
But we've definitely enjoyed the scenery and all the different things Colorado has to offer. And Fort Collins and Old Town, we love it.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. That certainly is for sure. You mentioned you were at Ohio State as a graduate assistant, and I know a couple of those years with Urban Meyer, obviously, your dad has a long relationship with Coach Meyer. Tell me a little bit what that was like to work for Urban.
Yeah, you know, people always ask me that, and I truly equate it to working at Apple for Steve Jobs. You know what
right.
I mean? You know, I felt like when I was at Ohio State, that was the epicenter of college football. Everyone wanted to be there. Everyone wanted to learn what was going on there. Just day in and day out, being around someone like Coach Meyer was unbelievable. And I'm very lucky. You know, Coach took a real active interest in training me. Really appreciative for that and learned a lot there. But it was just an unbelievable experience.
All right, San Diego State coming up on Saturday. And you look at this Aztec team, really good defensively. They don't give up many rushing yards. I think they only give up 270 total yards a game, which is an absurd number. When you look at them, you watch them on film, what makes them good defensively?
Yeah, just really impressed with, first and foremost, their scheme. They have a great scheme that they do, and they execute that scheme very well. They play fast. They rarely make mistakes. So just very impressed with how they play and how they attack the offenses.
All right, Louis, great to have you here in Fort Collins in Colorado State. Appreciate you stopping on by. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Louis Addazio, the offensive line coach for the Colorado State Rams. And first time that he has been coaching with his father, Steve Addazio, here this year. But as we heard Louis mention, was a three-year tight end at Boston College when Steve was the head football coach at BC. So certainly those two know each other very well from a football sense. All right, Sean Cronin is the linebackers coach at Colorado State. He and Coach Addazio go way back, all the way to the Florida days, and also coached together at Temple when Steve Addazio got his first head coaching job with the Owls. Sean Cronin also has an interesting personal past, as he is married to Emily Heater, the daughter of CSU defensive coordinator Chuck Heater. Here's the linebackers coach for Colorado State, Sean Cronin. Sean, great to visit with you. I know the first time you and I have had a chance to interact and meet. You spent the last 3 years coaching linebackers at South Florida. You were at Marshall for a while as well. But kind of give us an idea of your past and your relationship with Coach Addazio.
The first time I got a chance to work with Coach Addazio was at the University of Florida. And, you know, we spent 3 years together there. And I was lucky enough, gotten the opportunity to work for him again at Temple University. And then we hooked back up here.
And back with him here. And then you were at Florida with Coach Chuck Heater, of course, the defensive coordinator here at Colorado State currently. And you were also at Marshall with Coach Heater. And then you go way back with the Heater family, it's safe to say.
Yep.
Yeah. Your wife is his daughter, correct?
Yes, I married his daughter. The two most nerve-wracking conversations I had is when I asked him if I could date her and when I asked him if I could marry her.
Yes. And obviously each of those answers were yes. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, Coach Heater's been around a lot of places. You mentioned this is the first time that you've been west of the Mississippi, but your wife, Emily, actually went to high school.
Went to Poudre High School, yeah.
Went to Poudre High School.
From right here in Fort Collins, yeah.
Yeah. So what was her reaction when you told her, hey, listen, Coach Addazio has asked me to join his staff at Colorado State?
She was excited. A chance to come home. She's really familiar with the area. Loved it out here. Has always loved it out here. And it was a great opportunity.
So I imagine she gave you a bit of a scouting report on Fort Collins and whatnot. What are your thoughts on the area?
It's unbelievable. I mean, I love the fish. You know, I love the outdoors. And this place is just, it's just a beautiful place. Just to be able to look out the front window and see the Rocky Mountains, it's like a postcard.
Yeah, it is, no question. All right, Sean coaches the linebackers at Colorado State. Let's talk about that unit. And really, you look at this defense for Colorado State. It's been good this year. I know the points per game might not show that, but it's a defense that's held opponents under 400 yards per game, which is always a good number in college sports. But tell us a little bit about the linebacking corps, because I've been really impressed with the defense and the front seven in particular.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're awesome guys. I mean, they're just really fun to be around. They love football. You know, a lot of times you end up working places and you have to kind of, for lack of a better word, babysit guys. These are guys that take care of their business. They do everything right. And so then you really get to spend your time coaching because, you know, around here, you know, we develop, you know, under coach, we're developing the whole person. It's not just the football player, and
right.
they kind of go hand in hand. The better you become as a man, the better you become as a football player. The same attributes apply: work ethic, you know, effort, you know, discipline, all the things, high character. The same things apply. So with this group here, you know, we really get to delve into football and focus on football, and they like to learn, and they're really smart guys, and they're a lot of fun to be around.
What have you seen from this linebacking crew when you've come in and say, all right, it looks like we have this, that, this, and that? As the crew, has this linebacking corps surprised you at all and kind of what you have in that room?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it starts with DJ.
Right.
You know, DJ's, you know, he's an unbelievable leader, type of guy you'd want your daughter to marry. Like, he's about the right things. You know, he just kind of sets a standard in there, and the other guys are some really good young guys coming up that you know, have a lot of ability, and you know, it's just all around. They all are different, right? Linebackers come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. Some of them can really run, some of them are more physical, and they all have their own attributes, but they're a really good unit.
Yeah, you mentioned DJ. That, of course, being DaQuan Jackson, the junior linebacker for Colorado State, named captain here this year. And it's funny, yeah. I was talking to DaQuan last week and said, you know, with the coronavirus and games getting canceled, does it make you appreciate games even more when you get a chance to get out there and play the sport you love? And he says, maybe a little bit, but he followed it up with, I've always been appreciative of playing, and I never take a game for granted. Attitudes like that, I know, are guys that you like to coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously with DJ, he loves football, and there's no questioning that at all. I mean, you know, this is one of the messages we've, you know, you've said for years, you know, never take one for granted. And I think this year around the country, everybody really realizes that, you know, you can't take these things for granted. It doesn't matter. They're all big games.
Right. Kind of reset your gratitude meter a little bit.
No question.
How about a young linebacker? And a guy I know at the start of the year you didn't think you were going to have, and Mo Kamara played here last year as a true freshman. I know, at least speaking from a radio aspect, sitting up here in the press box, he turned my head on a number of occasions last year. It's like, man, this kid's a true freshman. Tell us a little bit about Mo and how you see his progression, because I know it's when you guys got the news that he was going to be able to play this year, you were probably ecstatic.
Yeah, he's a young player. Sometimes it's easy to forget Mo's a young player because he looks like he's about 35 years old. But he's still young and developing with a lot of talent. It's exciting to see how good he can be someday.
Yep. Again, Mo Camara, a kid who I had originally committed to Temple back a few years ago, ended up coming out to Colorado State. Talking to Sean Cronin, linebackers coach at Colorado State here on the Coors Light. Steve Addazio, coaches shows. We take you up until 8 o'clock here tonight. All right, a couple of final thoughts for you, Coach. Tell me what it's been like for you over the last few weeks, preparing and then having kind of the proverbial rug pulled from out underneath the coach's feet and the players.
I mean, this year, just like in football, just like in life, this year, adapt and overcome. You better roll with the punches because you just don't know what's coming around the corner. And, you know, if you're not fluid, if you're resistant to change and you can't adapt, then you're going to struggle. So just kind of have a mentality, it is what it is, and keep it moving.
San Diego State, tell us a little bit about their offense. I know they've had some injuries. They've played a bunch of different quarterbacks, but what do you expect to see from San Diego State, hopefully, coming up on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, they have a phenomenal offense. They have a running back that's really special. They got a whole group of running backs that are really good. One in particular is just an outstanding player. Their O-line is big and athletic, and they definitely present some challenges.
All right, Sean, thanks so much. Happy to have you here in Fort Collins and at Colorado State.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Sean Cronin, the linebackers coach for the Colorado State Ram football team. And again, he goes way back with not only Chuck Keeter, obviously, on the personal side and coaching side, but with head coach Steve Addazio. All right, so the Rams and the San Diego State Aztecs coming up on Saturday night from Dignity Health Sports Park. That's in Carson, California, 5 p.m. The kickoff between the Rams and the Aztecs. We'll have all the coverage on our new Belgium tailgate show across the Colorado State Sports Network beginning at 3 p.m. And again, it's been 23 days since Colorado State has played. As for San Diego State, they played just last Saturday, and they did so in Boulder against the University of Colorado. And go figure, the Rams and the Buffs weren't able to work it out. Two teams and programs and universities that are 50 miles away, but Colorado was able to work out something with a college football program that was over 1,000 miles away. And we've talked about that CU-CSU arrangement, the two programs and schools trying to get that game 2 weeks ago when the Rams had the UNLV cancellation and Colorado had the Arizona State cancellation. CSU was trying to get in contact with Colorado, and CU decided to drag their feet a little bit and in the end said, nah, we don't want to play. We want to concentrate on USC. Of course, the USC game got canceled, and they replaced it with San Diego State. That game got played last Saturday night, a 20-10 win for Colorado over the Aztecs. It was a game in which San Diego State could not get anything going offensively. The Aztecs did not have an offensive touchdown. In fact, you look at the stats, they were ugly offensively for the Aztecs. San Diego State ran 59 plays, and they amassed just 155 total yards of offense, 2.6 yards per play. That is a dreadful number. A Colorado defense that has been much improved this year, but it's a San Diego State offense. Despite putting up some decent numbers here this year, they just aren't great offensively. Now, it should be said they were playing without their starting quarterback. The quarterback play for San Diego State against Colorado last Saturday night, if you watched the game, was abysmal, just awful. And they were without Greg Bell, their starting running back. So San Diego State was certainly shorthanded, and you got to give the Buffaloes credit, too. They played well. But the San Diego State defense, they played well, too. In fact, San Diego State holding Colorado to just 272 total yards of offense and just 3.3 yards per play. That is also an abysmal number. You need that number up over 5, 5.5, or 6. So the San Diego State defense is legit, and that is not hyperbole. They had a pick six against Colorado. When you look at the numbers now for San Diego State, they are 3-3 on the season, 3-2 in the Mountain West Conference, and San Diego State ranks in the top 10 in three key defensive categories. They rank third in the nation in total yards given up per game. Total defense. They give up 270 yards per game. It's a terrific number. Ranked third in the nation. They give up just 16 points per game. It's eighth in the nation. And they give up just 90 rushing yards per game. That's 10th nationally. So Colorado State, on Saturday night, they're going to have their hands full against that 3-3-5 Rocky Long defense. Obviously, Rocky no longer the head coach at San Diego State. He's back home at New Mexico. Brady Hoke, the new head coach at San Diego State, his second go-around with the Aztecs. But San Diego State still employs that 3-3-5 defense. They're going to be ultra-aggressive, and they're going to make you and bait you into poor decisions. And that's what happened last week at the pick six. Darren Hall, the defensive back, one of the top DBs in the Mountain West Conference. Tariq Thompson, one of the top safeties in the Mountain West Conference. They got some studs up front. So Colorado State's going to have their hands full coming up on Saturday night offensively against a talented defense of San Diego State. Meanwhile, Ram defense has shown itself to be very salty here this year. Yeah, they've given up some points. Sure, they haven't been helped out with their special teams, in particular that Boise State game, but it's been a defense, certainly in the front seven, that's played very well this year, and they have a chance to take another step forward on Saturday night. Again, we have our fingers crossed. We're hoping it's going to happen. As of right now, we're now to 125 on Tuesday, December the 1st. Oh, we're hoping. We are hoping that game gets played. So again, 5 p.m. Saturday night from Carson, California, and our broadcast coverage across the Colorado State Sports Network begins with the new Belgium Tailgate Show at 3 p.m. with myself, Mark Driscoll, and Marty Cesario. All right, let's wrap it up with some Colorado State basketball talk. And, well, first off, let me just mention the Colorado State women's basketball team. They have been terrific through their first two games. Non-Division I opponents certainly understand that, but hey, the Colorado State women, they've looked really good through the first two. They beat Regis last Wednesday night, 111-64. But junior Tori Williams in that game hit 8 3-pointers in the contest. It broke a school record, and the 111 points for Colorado State were third most in school history. Then this past Saturday, a game in which I happened to go and watch, they beat Colorado Christian 96-54, and I got to tell you, I was impressed. They have a lot of new talent. The roster doesn't look anything like it looked last year. They have a lot of Division I transfers. They have a Division I transfer in Sydney Meck from DU. She's going to be in the starting lineup here this year. They have a transfer point guard from Seton Hall, a post player from Wisconsin Green Bay. And I'll tell you what, perhaps the most impressive player I saw out there in terms of the newcomers was Kylie Clark, a post player for Colorado State from Cherry Creek High School. She is a stud, 6'3" in the post. She is going to be a player Colorado State counts on for many seasons to come. So, hey, great start for Ryan Williams and the Colorado State women's basketball team. Again, I get it, non-Division I opponents, a couple of RMAC teams, but Colorado State blew both of those programs out. Now, the Rams are going to be on the road. They're going to open up Mountain West Conference play against Fresno State coming up this week, Thursday night at 7 p.m. Mountain, Friday night, 7 p.m. Mountain. The Rams are going to be in Fresno to take on the Fresno State Bulldogs, so we'll get a little bit better of a gauge of exactly what Ryan Williams in his ninth season has for the Colorado State women's basketball team. All right, on to the men's side, and Colorado State has been on pause since November the 20th due to some positive cases of COVID within the Colorado State basketball program, and then, of course, the subsequent contact tracing. They went on a 14-day pause, which is scheduled to end on Thursday. Not sure if the Rams are going to be back to action, though, on Thursday, and it's caused a whole lot of havoc with the schedule as we look at it now. Colorado State was supposed to play San Diego State this week, Thursday and Saturday, to open up Mountain West Conference play. Those games got postponed. They still do not know when those games will be made up. Of course, the Rams were supposed to take on Colorado coming up a week from tonight, Tuesday, December the 8th. Well, that game is not going to happen, and it wasn't going to happen even before the news broke today when the Buffaloes announced they were putting their men's basketball program on pause due to COVID issues. The Rams, just simply put, were not going to have enough players, not going to be in good enough shape to resume playing activity as early as next Tuesday. That leaves a Saturday, December 12th home game against UNC, a program that has had their own COVID issues, and then a couple of other non-conference games lingering out there as well. As I mentioned earlier in the program, I had a chance this week to catch up with men's basketball coach Nico Medved, and I asked him about the upcoming schedule.
You know, unfortunately, you know, we're not going to be able to play the Colorado game on the 8th, and that really stinks. I mean, for everybody, and I know that's disappointing, but that's just a reality of it. Is there a chance that we reschedule that? I know, you know, both schools would try, but it's just, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like. Right now we had Northern Colorado on the 12th. I think that that is still potential. I think that, you know, they're dealing with a pause of activities.
Right.
And, you know, Brian, I think this is unprecedented for everyone as we're working through this with guys recovering and guys in quarantine, and just we'll start some of that process this week of maybe getting some guys back, but we won't have everybody back until, you know, next week at some point. And it's not just everybody back full go. You've got, you know, you got to be smart, and there's medical protocols to follow. So I think we've got to get through a little bit more this week and this weekend to have a little bit better idea. But of course, we'd love to play that Northern Colorado game if we can, and we can do it in a safe way. If not, we would shoot for the next game, which for us would be the 15th. You know, we had CSU Pueblo scheduled to come in here during our finals. And I feel pretty confident at this point, as confident as you can be with everything going on right now in the world, that we for sure can play that game. And then we've got St. Mary's on the 19th, and, you know, we'll go from there. But I think, you know, fans could see us maybe moving a couple games into our schedule at different points throughout the season. And you're just going to have to stay nimble. We might be in situations where you have games scheduled 3 or 4 days before. We'll be back, but the Northern Colorado game is still up in the air at this point.
All right, that's men's basketball coach Nico Medved. And at this point, best case scenario, the debut of the 2020-2021 Colorado State men's basketball team, a much anticipated debut. We're all excited to see what this basketball team can bring to the court. Best case scenario, Saturday, December 12th, UNC. But even at this point, I'm not sure if that happens. Tuesday, December the 15th against CSU Pueblo, to me at this point, seemed like the most likely. And then hopefully you get that road game on the 19th at St. Mary's for Colorado State. Rams men's basketball team, they hope to open up Mountain West Conference play on Monday, December the 28th versus Fresno State. And then they play the second of that two-game series on Wednesday, December 30th. Again, that would be against Fresno State. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it. Find it, subscribe to it, download it. Certainly helps us out. Big thanks to head coach Steve Adazio, Louis Adazio, Sean Cronin for joining me last night on the Coors Light Steve Adazio Coaches Show. And great to catch up with CSU men's basketball coach Nico Medved. You can hear that full interview on Ram Jam, Power 102.9 in Northern Colorado, and on the Power 102.9 app coming up Wednesday night, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. I'm Brian Roth saying so long. Thanks for listening. We hope to talk to you Saturday night from Carson, California. This is the Colorado State Insider Podcast, presented by The Group.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Colorado State Sports Network, powered by Canvas Credit Union.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.